Good morning and welcome to another episode of Dare to Think. Today, I have a topic that literally, it's one of the things that both makes me the most curious and boils my blood the most. And warning, fair warning to people who are listening, this will go into what I believe is one of the root causes of populism in the world at the moment. Yes, we're going to talk today about, not about populism specifically, we're going to talk about the fact that we know how to change the world. We already know. We've known for a long time. And the reason why this idea is it has captured me very, very strongly is because I have found that it is actually true. So this man called Antonio Gramsci, had it right. He had a lot of things right, a lot of things not so right. So Antonio Gramsci is an Italian, let's call him a political philosopher, for lack of a better word, who died in a jail cell when he was pretty young, if I'm not mistaken. And he wrote a lot, and he was a neo-Marxist. So he believed a lot of the Marxist doctrine, which is part of his philosophy that I don't believe in. But he was based in Marxist theory. Marxist theory in itself is also based on other philosophers. It's not only Marx. So Marx was a devout Hegelian, which is Hegel, which was a very, very important philosopher for Germany in the previous century to Marx. And one of the things that Gramsci posited has a lot to do with that Marxist view of the world. The thing about, you know, structure, superstructure, all of that, that the context with which the world is built. So Gramsci pictured the world that way. And what I've figured out, at least from reading, a lot of this comes from Gloria Álvarez and Axel Kaiser, which are two incredible authors who wrote a book called El Engaño Populista. Increíble libro, un libro que habla un poco de Chávez y la izquierda Latinoamérica. Which is funny because I studied this from both perspectives. I studied this from the more libertarian, right-winged perspective of Axel Kaiser and Gloria Álvarez. And then on the other side, I studied it from the perspective of the documentaries that were built to praise the left in Latin America during the 2010s, which was, I've talked about this before, it was a very difficult experience for me to see Chavez put on a pedestal and talked about in a very positive way. Both perspectives taught me a lot, but one of the things that what shocked me the most was that Gramsci was talking about a way to make people change the way that they think, and so, and with that, create physical, real change in the world. So Gramsci believed that if you manipulate the superstructure of a society enough, then the society in itself will change. So he believes that what populists do is that they basically, the superstructure, let me try to put this into words, what I believe, I might actually be wrong about this because I haven't touched a lot on my Marxist theory as of late, but if I'm not mistaken, the superstructure is the topmost part of society. So it's movies, series, books, etc., the popular side, which is actually the biggest, most active side in our society at the moment. The superstructure, if you manage to introduce ideas that go against the current in the superstructure. So let's say what would have been in London, you know, the Marxist theory, which was against the superstructure. It was against, you know, everything, you know, the bourgeois idea of revolution that did populate the world for a very long time, is proof of that. It's like, if you manage to introduce ideas from the top, the people on the bottom of the hierarchy will take them on. Para salirme un poco de la teoría y ir a cosas más específicas, I'm going to point to something that I've been really, that has been bothering me for a while, okay? Which is, my girlfriend has told me, like, oh, let's go watch the Marvel movies. And I haven't wanted to, especially lately. My girlfriend is right there, actually, recording with me again for the second time. Thank you for coming. but again, we were talking about the Marvel movies. And there's something about the Marvel movies right now that I don't like. And it's that they've become bastardized. They're no longer the same narrative. If you want a better explanation of this, go to Baggage Claims YouTube. Incredible content talking about how there's no longer any character development and how most of the stories that we love have been either killed off or become embarrassing. So if you watch Thor, Love and Thunder, and even Thor Ragnarok, even though Thor Ragnarok was a really good movie, Thor, instead of becoming, like, instead of keeping on being this, you know, this heroic and, you know, important figure in the MCU, becomes the biggest joke of the MCU. The same thing goes for Hulk and She-Hulk. The same thing goes for Loki. All of them receive, like, talking downs from the universe. And in a way that, you know, does away with their character development. So this is a message. If you want to look at it in Gramscian terms, this is a message coming from the superstructure, talking about how what we believe is true is actually not. And it's, a lot of people will buy into this. But the weird thing, and the thing that gives me a lot of hope, and the thing that makes me think that I might be wrong, is that a lot of people don't like it. Most people that watched She-Hulk didn't like it. Like, it's been, they've actually called Disney out for, you know, manipulating the data so that it looks like it's been a success when it actually hasn't. And so there's hope that most people, especially if you do it too blatantly, can see through the facade of, like, somebody trying to manipulate them and make them change their mind about something. But in general, if you manage to do things correctly, you can. That was the case, I believe, in Venezuela for a long time, and Latin America in general. I believe that is the case in many places. But the funny thing is, I see a lot of this also in what we call culture wars today. I see it in Jordan Peterson. And my point is, I don't think Gramsci's ideas are purely evil or bad or negative for the world. I think that it's a tool. I think that it means that as a society, we have to create figures and people that do have real narratives that go with the ideas that we believe or have believed are true. We have to create these stories. We have to show these people, real people, in social media, in movies, that make content that contradicts what they are trying to say. And by they, I mean the people who are trying to change the narrative. Because even if that narrative has a positive intent, you know, it's basic Hegelian and Marxist historic view of the world. You need, if you have an idea, a thesis, you need an antithesis. You need an idea that opposes it. You need somebody to challenge it. And I think that, like we talked about in the last episode about being biased, I think that the world of, you know, movie making, Hollywood, has become so biased to one side that it has thrown everything off balance. We need the people that represent us, that we see in our movies, to be both from one side and from the other. And I think that this Gramscian scheme of how we change the world is in each and every one of our hands. If you pick up your phone and make a YouTube video and you highlight what you think is the truth, you will probably be helping somebody else decide. And maybe even yourself. Remember that when we speak and when we talk, we think. I believe that the best thing we can do at a time like this is to speak our minds, and to speak our minds fully and articulately in order to actually find common ground. I think that in order to end this episode, I'm going to say a little bit about what I think the best use for Gramscian scheming would be. And I think that truly, and this is going to sound a bit out of the blue, but I think that we should start a bit in the direction of understanding thankfulness. This is why I've been trying every episode to say thank you to somebody new. I think that we have been polarizing society in so many ways because we are unapologetic. We do not like, and we do not think of saying sorry to the person that we have just made change their mind. Jordan Peterson says it a lot. Nobody survives a good conversation. But also, nobody says sorry afterwards. Nobody survives a good conversation because a part of you has to die and grow up while you're having the conversation. The opposite side of this is that having a part of you die hurts. If we're going to have a debate in the social media scale, we need people to be sorry, even if they're right. And especially if they are wrong. Because if you don't have that kindness, if you don't have the foresight to understand that you are not attacking a person, you are conversing with them, you're having discourse. A lot of people can take it personally, and that's how you create a mob. In this case, I think for today, I'm going to thank... I'm going to thank my big sister. She's, I think, one of the first persons who taught me how to converse and be apologetic. Even if you're mad, even if you're angry, you can always use the sandwich technique and, you know, show people that even if you have something to tell them, there's always something positive too. Thank you. I'll see you again next week.